The Unview, the thin, the rich, and the fabulous on cliffcentral.com.
And it is a momentous day here at cliffcentral.com. Good morning, good morning, good morning to you. Not only is it spring day and the sun is shining and things are really going well, but of course we've joined with Touch Central. Palesa, how cool is Touch Central?
It's Cliff Central.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've got Cliff, we've got Touch, the team, and it's really going to be superb. We've got DJ Touch, so we've got a music and a radio station and a talk and radio station, and the magic is all coming together here on this very special 1st of September, Spring Day.
Yeah.
And you know, that spring is about new energy, mm-hmm. new life. The birds are tweeting, and you know what it means?
Flowers.
But do you know what the most important thing here is?
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. Is that everybody's having babies. Everyone's flitting. It's a time to start spreading our wings, flapping our like our, you know, matrele out. No, it's time to find a man. You got a man?
No, unfortunately not.
Now's the time, baby. We're going to get you dressed sexy. Mm-mm-mm. We're going to look for something really special because it's spring. Spring has sprung. It's time to be happy. It's good to be with you. It's Alan Ford and it's the Unview here on cliffcentral.com. The magic of Unradio. And a great show lined up today. We've got Clay Johnson from Mango Groove. We've got Michelle McLean Bailey, former Miss Universe. We've got Chatty Maddie talking about great theatre. My in-studio guests include Toby Cronier, top actor, the one and only Toby Cronier, and Kirsty Smith, the producer of a new show called My Fat Friend. It's a very appropriate show. For me in particular, my fat friend. And then Sandra Prinsloo joins us on the line as well. It's a great, packed, wonderful show. And it's all happening today on cliffcentral.com, on The Unview. But, you know, I love listening to people that have made such an impact in terms of the music world. Mm-hmm. And about walking in Sandton City, I've got Rudy Landman from Carte Blanche on one side.
Oh, yeah.
It was busy filming. And on the other side, I'm running with Michelle McLean. And who do I bump into is none other than Claire Johnson from Mango Groove.
Wow.
Dance, 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 wow. Dance some more. Da da dum bum ba dum bum ba da da. You got it, okay. And then I thought, I haven't seen Claire for a while. So what's Claire up to? So I pick up the telephone and I say, Claire, what you been up to? And so Mango Groove, in the next couple of weeks, next month or so, is launching their new album. Mango Groove is coming back with a splash. And on the line, we have the one and only Claire Johnson. Claire, thank you for joining us.
Oh, what a pleasure. Thank you. How are you feeling on this lovely first day of spring?
Dance, 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 dance some more, baby. That's what it's about.
That's excellent. I've just had this most incredible sneezing fit, which I attribute to all the lovely fresh stuff in the air.
Well, it's the hay fever.
Absolutely.
Claire, the magic of Mango Groove has been going now for way over 25 years.
I'm going to scare you, 31 years.
No, seriously.
No, I frighten myself more than I can possibly frighten anyone else.
But, I mean, you look fabulous.
Unbelievable.
And, I mean, you and John
very sweet.
Put this all together all those years ago. And I can't believe that a new album's coming out. I mean, of course, in Kirstenbosch and around the country and still around the globe you perform. But, I mean, to have a new album come out some 30-odd years later, this is incredible. What can we expect?
Well, thank you. No, it's very much really a consolidation and a celebration of ourselves as Mango Groove and of our country. It's quite an interesting project. It's been 4 years in the making. We'll explain at some point down the line as to why it's taken so long. But it's a real labor of love, and it's called Sing the Beloved Country, and mm-hmm. it's a double album. So the first CD is it's very much a celebration of the songs that we particularly love that are South African.
What is your favorite song, Claire, from Mango Groove?
Of all time.
What is your favorite song?
Oh, a Mango Groove song. You know, I went through a phase of despising Special Star because, you know, you get to a point where you're just fed up and you think, well, I want to break up and do something different. And then, you know, time moves on and you realize how lucky you are to have been associated with a song that seems to mean so much to people. I mean, it really is amazing how people respond to that song on stage. And I would have to say, I'd have to say Special Star. Then I would also jump forward to The Here and the Now, which is the new album. John has written an amazing ballad called Kind. which hopefully you'll all get to hear quite soon. Now, I think that is probably going to be my favorite Mango Groove song of all time.
And then you're going to be doing some magical collaborations with various South African artists. For example,
yes.
Tell us some of Rebecca Malope, Top Gospel.
Rebecca Malope, yes. Oh, she's awesome. And we do a song called Malawe, a very well-known South African song. And the contrast between our voices, you know, she's got this amazing presence. And I sort of try and float around, you know, what she's doing. And I think it really works. Then there's Juanita Duplessis, who's actually got, you know, her voice is just actually completely moving. I loved what she did on the album. We're doing, Kinnis van die Wind with her. Sure. And then we've got Zalani from Freshly Ground. We've got, Vusi Mhlasela. We've got Moti from Mikasa, whose dad was in Mango Groove.
I mean, that is incredible, that motif.
No, it's a lovely story.
I mean,
it's a feel-good story, you know, especially the Moti connection with his dad and everything, and that he's taken it very seriously, and that's what music does, really. It sort of crosses generations, and it just pulls you into life and into feelings more than anything else, I think.
I am so excited to firstly get the album. I know it hasn't been released.
Well, no.
There's a lot of work. No one's heard a thing yet, so it's all sitting backstage.
There's a song that's been given some airplay. It was just a teaser that we sort of released called Faces to the Sun. And DSTV have just picked up on that as their summer movie campaign, which is great, which is all about celebrating South Africa. So that's a nice, you know, jump into the whole thing. So it's just warming up. I think it's going to get really fun and really exciting. So yes, video shoots coming up, photo shoots. So the music is done. It's now all the artwork and that's where it can get even more fun. So we're very excited.
Claire Johnson, it's so good to have you on the show. Your faces to the sun. Now, today in particular, don't look at the sun because, of course, we have an eclipse happening right now. We're in the middle of an eclipse.
Apparently, there's a way of doing it. So do, but just be very careful.
Use the special glasses or whatever.
Absolutely.
But Mango Groove is an institution. I need to ask you a favor. I need you and John to come into studio. We need people on the line.
Yes,
can we do a celebration of Mango Groove on one of the shows?
I would love that.
Is that a deal?
You know, the reason we, absolutely a deal. Once we have everything, all the ducks lined up and, you know, then please.
We love it.
Love it.
Of course, the one and only Claire Johnson and, of course, Mango Groove rocking and rolling, as always. Claire, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Cheers. And that's Claire Johnson, just a great star. What a great... I mean, you want to talk about the people that have made music in South Africa. You go back to the Mahotela Queens.
Yes.
Okay, you go back to people like Rebecca Malope, Abigail Kubeka.
Maria Makeba.
Okay, you're going back... Huma Sekela.
Yes.
Mango Groove.
Yeah.
Mango Groove. PJ Powers.
Yes.
Yvonne Chaka Chaka Machaka. Mm-hmm. Brenda Fass. You know, these are... You know, people don't realize, you know... And I love, of course, Freshly Ground. And we love Mikasa. And we love Casper. We love these guys.
Yeah.
But you go back to the magic of South African music.
Yes.
And you can't not say Mango Groove's not up there with the best of them. Of course, it's wonderful to have chatted to Claire Johnson. Now, you see, we've got this new system now where I can play music. So I want to just see if I can get this right. Let me just see. Are we there? Yeah, we go. Yeah, you see. See, this is the magic of it. The penny flute, you see.
Takes me back to my childhood.
I know, Maddie. After the music break, we'll chat to Matthew Kunanen about the theatre. Tourbillonier is my very special guest in studio with Chrissy Smith, the producer of My Fat Friend. And then we'll talk to Sandra Prinsloo. It's all happening on Cliff Central. Very special star, and of course, you know, as Claire Johnson says, she hated that song, and now it's still her biggest hit in the world. This is the Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. We still can't work out who the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous are as yet, but we'll get there one day, and that's the point. It's Alan Ford on CliffCentral.com. It's good to be with you. You can get hold of us, of course. You can tweet us. You can chat us. We're here for you. That's the way it goes. And, of course, a big day because Cliff Central has joined Touch Central and basically everything's just going to be centralized in some sense. We sound like the, I don't know, like the EFF. But let's not go there. Chatty Matty.
Yes.
Theatre Review. Welcome to the show.
Ellen, we may not be thin, we may not be rich, but we are certainly fabulous, aren't
100%,
we?
100%. I agree.
Yeah.
Well, let's not talk about that. All relative. All relative. The theatre, of course, we talk about this every week. Magic, magic stuff. That is going on in and around South Africa. And, of course, yeah, you know, it's what's happening.
Yeah, we had a crazy-ass week last week, so there was a lot of detail that I could kind of wrap up about. But I saw some amazing student work this week that was presented at UJ, at the Concowan Theatre. Mm-hmm. And that was on the back of a tour that the students did down to the National Arts Festival. And that was a piece called For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough. Now, it's quite a mouthful of a title, and I'm not going to repeat that.
Good Lord.
But what I can say is it was quite spectacular to see that we've got student theatre tackling hard and often unspoken issues, you know, that about rape, domestic violence, and forced marriage. And what united these storytellers was the fact that they were all women, black women, more importantly. And I think on the back of Women's Month, it was quite a poignant piece to see. What was spectacular about this was the fact that they're all students. They're not acting students. They're not mm-hmm. traditional drama students. So they're graduates of BCOMs and science degrees and you name it. And it was magnificent to see the work. So I would encourage audiences to head out there. It's on tonight and it finishes tomorrow, unfortunately.
But it's nice to get out there.
Absolutely.
Just give it a punt. What else is happening? I went to see Nathaniel's show. Have you seen it?
No, I'm going this week.
Okay. Listen, if you love Nathaniel, you love Nathaniel. I mean, and he is, we'll talk to Chrissy Smitten, who's one of the top theatre producers in the Afrikaans genre in particular, all genres, but of course, lots of Afrikaans. But when you work with Nathaniel, you see Nathaniel, he's just... He's
Celine Dion of the East, as he says, eh?
My Lord! you've got to forgive me, I haven't seen him for 10 years. I mean, I've seen him, but I haven't. But when, good God, the man can sing.
Yeah.
He does Purple Rain. I think it could kick Prince's ass slightly. God rest his soul. But I mean, it really could. It could give it a go.
He was an ex-jockey, wasn't he?
Yes.
Daniel,
yeah, he's. And but anyway, I've got Rudi Landman going to see it.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do a whole interview on Farana Dinger about Nathaniel's life. So we'll get that all. That'll all be happy on CakeNet soon.
But amazingly, Ubu and the Truth Commission has made a reappearance. And I saw it at the Arts Fest a couple of years ago. A spectacular piece for all kind of art enthusiasts. If you're a dramatist, there's some amazing acting. But you know, it's directed by William Kentridge, so we see some amazing animation with the puppetry from Puppetry Company.
It's amazing.
You know, Handspring of Warhorse. So they combined forces years ago, and this piece has been touring internationally for many years, and the Market Theatre has brought it back home and said, hey, South Africa, check this out.
So we need to get William Kentridge on the show.
Absolutely.
I'm going to phone the Goodman Gallery, try to get him, so just to find out how that all went together, which is wonderful. So when is it on?
That is on until the 11th of September, so next week, Sunday. It's a quickie, but it's worth seeing. Absolutely worth seeing.
So, any other magic happening? Of course, we've still got Joseph happening in Cape Town. We've still got lots of that's with Peter Turin. The Market Theatre, new stuff's all coming in now because we saw Tower last week, which was really good. What else can you?
Yeah, well, on the back of the Afrikaans season that we spoke about at Monty, we've got obviously Tour B and Kwesi in studio who will chat.
We're going to chat about my fat friend.
Absolutely.
I don't know which one that is exactly. Probably me. Tour B. You're my thin friend, darling. You're the skinny. I'm the fat friend. Yeah, cool. Well, we'll get into that one.
Heading down to the coast in Durbs, we've got a good old rerun of Defending the Caveman. You've chatted to Tim recently.
Tim was on recently, yeah.
Yeah, and then opening an amazing little theatre called Gate 69 in Cape Town is Brennan van Rijn of Cathy's specific fame.
I love him.
And he's opening with a piece, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, which I think will be a first for South Africa. Pretty exciting stuff. So we'll have to follow up and...
Tell the listeners a bit about what Hedwig and Inches about.
Oh my goodness. Well,
it's an old Broadway.
It is fairly old. Basically a singer who had a sex change and it was botched up. The sex change was in aid of getting him over from East Germany to the States, and it was a botched up sex change, and he's an angry man or angry person, should I say. So I think highly topical with everything that's going on with regards to transgendered issues and stuff at the moment. And it's a rock musical, so an exciting one.
And of course, Brendan Van Rijn, Kathy can rock and roll on that stage.
Absolutely. I don't think Brendan's playing the lead character, but he will certainly be receiving the audiences at his very new theatre.
We look forward to that, and of course we'll be popping in there. I'm off to catch on actually later today, so we'll meet up with him and we'll get him on the show. Matchy, any other magic happening in and around?
Other than a little art gallery that I went off to, I went to see the Matisse exhibition at the Standard Bank Gallery.
Yep.
Absolutely magnificent. Check it out. It's running there for a while. Free entrance. Beautiful works. Exciting stuff. I'm off to see Die Kapers Weer Homs tonight. That's my Bray coming out for you beautifully. And I'll give you the feedback on that next week. Absolutely. But that's it, Al.
Chatty Matty, thank you for joining us. And of course, you'll be staying in studio while we chat to the phenomenal legend, Toby Cunha. Sandra Prince will be on the line later. And Mr. Producer himself, Chrissy Smith. That's all happening here on cliffcentral.com. The Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. Let's get straight into it. My Fat Friend. Okay, so let me just tell you this. My Fat Friend. When I read it, I thought this was written for me. I got quite excited. I thought, well, I have lots of friends, and I'm Lebanese, and it's lovely. So this is my fat cousin. This is my fat friend. I got excited for a second. But, I mean, you've got Toby Cunha, Michelle Buerta, Jeremy Richard. I mean, you've got a cast of note. You're the producer. Before we get to Toby, what is My Fat Friend?
My Fat Friend basically is a comedy, and it's about a girl that has to lose weight. Her friend, Toby, that's the my. Toby is the he's the guy.
What?
I've worked it out beautifully. The my fat friend means that it's Toby's best friend.
Okay, so Toby's and the thin friend for the fat friend.
Yes.
So we've all had them.
Yes, we all have them.
But you're not fat, Donny, so let's go there.
Luckily, it's radio. I've got a thin voice. So basically, Toby's character let his best friend lose some weight to catch a guy. And yes, that's basically the premise. But it's a comedy. It's fun. We've done basically the Afrikaans one a few years back.
Really?
Fetty Fetty. And now
Fetty Fetty.
Yes. And now
I love that.
Now we're bringing it back in English for the English viewers.
So, legend Toby Cunha, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
You are a true South African legend. I mean, I just think of pantomime last year. Someone said to me, is Toby not in the pantomime this year? I said, no, of course you've got Lucky Dube, you've got lovely people, you know, but no, they can't be every year. I said, we're going to go. But of course, one should. You've been in this business for how long? I mean, since Pontius was a pilot?
Yeah, 44 years, I think. 45 years, I think.
Toby, first and foremost, South African theatre is thriving. And isn't it great to see it over how it's changed over the last 40 odd years?
It's varied quite a lot. You know, it is really interesting to see how it's changed. The changes weren't always for the good. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when I grew up in old apartheid days, we had the arts councils, which were wonderful for white actors. Mm. You know, but I was fortunate to have the right color skin
at that period of time.
And then black theatre, the market came up, and a lot of black theatre happened. But with the freeing of South Africa, that kind of black theatre didn't mean much anymore, and we had to kind of find other things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really interesting what's all happened. But in the end, I just like Shakespeare.
Is it? Well, it's kind of generic, which is really good and brilliant.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we often see you as Mr. Funny Man. I mean, you're the funny
guy.
You?
Well, why?
I mean, because you're hysterical and you're cute and you're brilliant with your face. But, I mean, that's how a lot of South Africans...
Are you sure that's me?
Well, we think so. But, I mean, it's
my twin brother.
But isn't it wonderful to see that also comedy and people having a laugh is also so popular? Because, I mean, if you go back to those days, I mean, even when I went to see Nathaniel's show, he was so wonderful at bringing really good humour into prose and poetry and in quite a heavy discussion, depression and terrible things. Have you seen it?
No, not yet. I'm going to go and see it.
But it's wonderful that we can still laugh. And you've always been a part of that genre as well as obviously all your other theatre.
Yeah. It's amazing. You know, when I was younger, I always wanted to play Hamlet. I wanted to do the serious stuff. But eventually I realized being funny also has a purpose. You know, it makes people relax and forget about their problems, and laughter is the best medicine. So, I've got used to that.
And
I still want to play Hamlet, though. Old, grey-haired one.
Let's go back to your career. What has been some of your highlights for you personally? If you look back at some of the best performances that you think you've, or best plays that you've been in, what have been your highlights?
You know, Alan, it's very hard to say because it's always subjective, you know. And I find all the plays that have challenged me to learn a new skill, whether it be learning lines or whatever, or dancing or singing or doing an accent, those have been the nicest for me, the highlights for me. The first one I think of was Joan Brickell and Louis Burke did a production of I Love My Wife, a musical. I had to learn to sing in that. I had to learn an American accent.
Could you not sing? I mean, were you not?
No, not really. You know, the youngsters today, in the old days, we weren't trained to sing. You were an actor. You didn't have to sing. Now, all the actors can sing, and they sing well, you know. I'm very jealous. And I had to learn to sing, which I still can't do very well. And dance from Joan Brickell, which was great. So I can move a little. I can't dance. And learn an American accent, which I can do a little. I can't.
So just sing. So basically it is
I'm a hell of a busker, you know. So
okay. Yes. Okay, so you had
I'm
to busk.
I'm a legend busker.
Really? That's why the Panto, obviously, is something so cute, because you can have fun with the audience.
Yes,
you can feed off the audience.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So, and of course, the legend Joan Brickell, no longer with us, but I mean, again, one of those magical people to have worked through, because if you have been classically trained, and now all of a sudden you can do various genres
branch out.
I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Tell us, where was that performed and what happened? And did you succeed with the American accent, dancing and singing?
yes, people. It was supposed to take place in Hoboken.
New Jersey. Yeah.
And we learnt what we thought was a New Jersey accent. And
it's a Guido accent. It's Guido. Isn't New Jersey meant to be Guido?
It's
the cake boss. Buddy. It's Buddy. Yeah, correct.
And a woman came to see the show one night, and she said she was from New Jersey. And she said, sorry, your accent is just terrible.
But
South Africans didn't notice.
I mean, nowadays, you know, with all these import shows, we're getting these massive creative teams that are coming in, and there's an accent coach, and there's a singing this, and there's a eyebrow coach, and you name it. I mean, it was in your hands back then, wasn't it?
Mm.
You know?
And you must remember, we didn't even, in the beginning, we didn't even have TV. So there was nothing.
Yes.
Very little influence from outside.
Yeah, and remember, you were quite just, there were travel restrictions, you maybe had the odd movie, and a lot of them were banned.
Yeah.
A lot of people like to share with other, a lot of things. Okay, so that's something that stands out in your memory. Other wonderful productions that stand out for you, or people that you've performed with across the globe?
I played Autolycus in Winter's Tale, which was wonderful. And I did that at university in my third year for Niels Hansen. He directed it. And then much later for Bobby Heaney, when Sandra Prinsloo played the lead female. And it was also wonderful. All the Shakespeare's for me is really great. I've been in Hamlet, and I've been in Winter's Tale. I've been in Midsummer Night's Dream. I played Bottom. I've been in Othello, which is also wonderful. And I've been in The Taming of a Shrew with Sandra again and Marius. I think for me, it is how the production manifests itself, and with what company, that really makes it wonderful.
And the company is the important part. Because there's no single. Okay, maybe
not. Sometimes I tell young people as well that sometimes it's not the end product that is the main purpose. Sometimes it's the journey to get there, which can be fantastic. And then the show might be a flop, but it's still most enjoyable and memorable.
I tell this story. I had the pleasure of being in one piece of theatre in my life, and produce it, by the way, which, by the way, is very difficult. But we made money, so it's good.
Oh, good.
It was called Debbie Does Dallas, the musical.
Oh, my goodness.
With Caprice Beret, Tanya van Gaan. It had Brandon Orich in it. It had Jacques Terblanche, and it had Tessa Denton, Femme Beeling, Pierre Van Heelen, quite a great cast. And I was the one person in the cast and the producer that, I don't know why I put myself in it, but it was that moment in time that you'll never do again. Well, you never say never, but
as a producer, you have to go through
it. Have you ever put yourself in a play, in your own play? Have you? Yes. You've done this. Chris, you understand?
I had to, because I had to understand what they're going through, what's the fuss about.
The review in The Citizen.
He didn't have enough money to pay an actor, that's why he did it himself.
Actually, that's exactly the same point. I actually wanted to double pay myself. That was the thing. I did pay myself on the budget. Terrible. You see producers having a discussion. But here's the thing, is that the review said, because I produced a lot of television and a lot of radio in that at the time, and the review said Alan Ford should stick to producing. There's a friend that I knew from there, and she was very polite, Christine Kennedy. I'll never forget. I said, thank you, Christine. But it was the most difficult thing that I've ever think I had to do, besides forget the producing part of it, and I didn't direct it, but it's hard work. People, I give standing ovations after a brilliant musical production or production, because I am blown away with the amount of work that goes in to what happens.
Yeah, you're right.
You look at big companies, you know, big productions. You look at the Panto, where you go like, there are literally over 50 people at play at a certain point in time, backstage, front stage, you know, and no one understands that there's someone, one thing is out of place, it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Who have you performed with that sparks, that lights your spirit?
Well, Sandra Prinsloo, Marius Weyers, Kobus Rousseau, 3 years ago. My goodness.
You better mention your current cast members.
Yes, please.
Yes. My fat friend.
Well, my fat friend is Michelle Buerta. She's absolutely fantastic. I was just telling Matt that when she dries during rehearsals now, she says her lines and then she gets confused. She goes, oh, fuck.
And you can say fuck on Club Central.
Yes. And it's everybody's kind of sort of your breath stops, you know. And she just carries on as if nothing happened. I hope she's not going to do it in the show.
Well, if she does, I guess it's just one of those things.
It's stage central then.
Yes, we roll with the punches. But it is incredible to be able to have worked with all these stars and to work with these people. I want to come back to Chrissy, something interesting that is happening, and I've seen it and I've had the pleasure, because I've created a few programs now in the last 2 or 3 years with CakeNet.
Oh yes.
And I then went to do some interviews with people like Vrienden van Afrikaans and all these wonderful groups of people, and it's so interesting to see how rich the cultural ethos still is across the board, across all races, across all creeds, across gays, straights. It's wonderful to see the love for the Afrikaans language, which I'm very proud to see.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think more than ever, I think Afrikaans is starting to stand. It's been standing on its own before, but in terms of creatively, people are creating in Afrikaans, which is wonderful. There's amazing new musicals, new plays, new comedies out there that's newly written. And it's a very exciting time in Afrikaans, because now it's previously it had the stigma that it's the onetal of the onderdrukker. But now it's a complete new generation moving up in the ranks. And those people talk Afrikaans because that's the language. We communicate in it. And that's exciting at this stage.
You look at the numbers, and I mean, you did TV work. You've done quite a bit of TV work in your life, Toby. I mean, it's incredible to see that CakeNet's one of the biggest channels. on the DSTV broadcast. It's incredible to see the amount of work that's coming, because the thing is that someone that's Zulu can only get Zulu stuff in South Africa. Mm. Someone that's Afrikaans can only get Afrikaans material in South Africa or Namibia. There are two places. So that is why the cultural people going off and supporting, you know, both Afrikaans theatre and Afrikaans television and music, it's incredible to see. And the festivals also, it's quite special across the board.
No, definitely.
You know, and it's good to see. I'm going to come to Oscar Andy Pinkdani in a moment. So we're going to get Sandra Princely on the line. But I want to come back to my fat friend, Toby. When, I mean, let's, you've never been overweight.
I've tried.
It's not easy.
No, I have a problem putting weight on. So
Can we swap? Spirits.
Lose a bit, but tell me where to pick it up.
the show itself, I mean, what are you hoping that people, audiences, will receive from it? I mean, what is the message?
I think the
there's a very sweet moral to the story about non-discrimination. You know, the way people perceive fat people is discriminating. You know, and I think the play says, leave people as they are. Don't try and change them. Accept them as they are.
Well, love them.
And that's
love people's differences.
That's another way of saying it.
You know, the thing is that for health reasons, of course, we want to. But I mean, for goodness sake, I mean, you see, the day. I mean, I come from a world where I'm a gay man, and the interesting thing in it is that the body obsessed, which is fine. I kind of cool, get it. It's great. My mother said to me, "Oh my lord, these people, each one's face looks better than the next. Each 4-year-old, each." I said, "Yes, mommy, that's what happened." But the interesting thing is that it's so fascinating, because what happens when someone reaches the age of 50 and the body does start to sag, and things start to happen, because generally there's no. People at 60, 70 years old are plump. They are plump. They're grey not you, Toby. You're the one that's not. But they get grey and they get older, and the spirit and your soul and your charisma and your character is more important than the physical form. And I think that is the interesting thing here, because again,
that's what
the message of show would be.
Well, it's not about age really. The play.
That's about weight.
It's about weight. Yeah. And because my character's gay as well, so it's about being, he's a screaming queen.
Okay.
So it's quite over the top, which helps with the comedy and all those things, but at the end, you walk out laughing a lot.
Really?
But a lot. And then, but you go home with a small thought. Because comedy, it's got the magical thing of kind of making people laugh over issues.
Yes.
And that is fantastic, because they kind of walk out there with some sort of small lesson. They don't have to see it, but they'll feel better.
It's often on that reflection, isn't it?
Yes.
So it's that ha-ha in the moment, and then it's kind of sitting in the car on the way home and going, actually, you know.
It's planting the seed.
Yeah.
This is CliffCentral.com. My name's Alan Ford. It's the Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous. Literally, that is the name of the show.
Oh, fabulous.
Well, I used to have, Sumizi used to be my, and he was the thin, and I don't know what. He used to make me do squats here on the floor. Let's not even go there. But in a moment's time, we're going to talk about Oscar and the Pink Dunny with Sandra Prinsloo. My special guest in studio is Toby Cunha and Chrissy Smith. And of course, we've got Chatty Maddy, our Mr. Theatre, with us here on the one and only CliffCentral.com.
Keeping it real on CliffCentral.com.
And this is The Unview, and of course, the magic of theatre, the magic of entertainment. That's what the show is all about. My name is Alan Ford. It's good to be with you here on CliffCentral.com. It's spring day. There's an eclipse happening at the same time. What's going on? It's magic. And of course, we've just joined with the Touch Central team, so in for magical stuff. So, it's coming out. It's called Oscar and the Pink Tunny. Now, before we chat to the legend.
Yes.
We've got legends today. Toby Cunha, Sandra Prinsloo, it's Claire Johnson earlier. We're kind of having a good day. What is this about? Tell me all about it.
Basically, it's a story about a young cancer patient called Oscar, and an aunt called the Pink Tunny, which is played, both characters played by Sandra Prinsloo, is kind of guiding him through the last days before he dies. And it's a magical story, I have to say.
Sure.
I've basically went to see the production. I never cry in productions, but I was sobbing.
I cry in every production.
Okay, me too. So, but
he just admitted it. I cry in everything.
Yes, but it's really, with Sandra doing both roles, it's a magical production in terms of script, story, and the directing. Everything just came together magically.
On the line, we have the one and only Sandra Prinsloo. This opens at 6th of September. Sandra, thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, thanks for having me on the line with you.
Such a great legend. So, Turby's in the studio. Of course, we've
got... Hi, Sandy.
Hello, Turby.
First and foremost...
Hello, Kwesi.
Hello, Sandra.
Of course, we have a chat, Matt, as well. So, tell me something. Tell us about the play and tell us what it was like. How difficult is it to, all of a sudden, playing a young man, dying of cancer, and then playing a tunny, and going across both roles?
Yes. I mean, technically, it is quite difficult, but you know, because we don't have any props, and I don't have any costume changes, so I'm basically just in jeans and a t-shirt, and I have to do a 10-year-old boy and a 70-plus-year-old woman. So, you know, that is quite a daunting thing to do, especially when you think, gosh, you've got to play a boy of 10, you know. But it was wonderful working with Lara Bai, because she had her son was 10 years old at the time. And we sort of, you know, thought, how are we going to do, because it's so easy to make it cheesy, you know, to try and play a 10-year-old boy and make it quite cheesy. So we looked and observed her young boy, and we realized that he was actually a little grown up in his own world, you know. He was actually quite an adult, and that was really how we approached the part, I suppose, you know, the young boy. And then we had to find different physical positions to immediately signal that this is now the boy and this is now the older woman, because it's done in dialogue and it's a split second to change, you know. So it's not as if it's long monologues. It's they are actually in dialogue. So the boy says a sentence and she answers, and it's quick, you know. So yeah, so it was quite daunting, but it was a wonderful process. It's a fantastic script. I think it's a French script which was translated. And I think it's a wonderful story, really it is.
Could I ask you how long you rehearsed on it?
Yeah, not very long, a month on and off. Between I had to go to Edinburgh and come back because I was doing my other one-woman show there. So about a month, but we've been doing it for quite a while now. Yeah.
That was going to be my next question, Sandra. You've just come back from Edinburgh. Tell us about the one-woman show and tell us about how you were received by that audience.
Oh, well, Edinburgh was 2 years ago, I must say. Oscar has also been invited, but some other funds are never coming through from our side.
Oh, we've got to find some time. We've got to get people.
Because the government's not kind of, you know, coming to the party. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was a fantastic experience, and the play was wonderfully received. I was sort of wondering how an Afrikaans older woman, that was Deny Machine, which was another one-woman show that I did,
magic,
how it would be received. And it was wonderfully received. We had just about full houses every day, and wonderful reception, 4- and 5-star reviews. So it was great. Baruch Shalchriev, yeah.
That's correct, yeah. Baruch Shalchriev. Do you know, I had the pleasure of going down to a home in Hermanus. And
oh, did you?
And one of the most inspirational people I've ever met in my life.
Yes, she's marvelous.
And she is. And, you know, the fact that she talks about, you know, she's gone blind in the one eye and her own difficulties she's going through.
Tragic,
But the spirit, and as a writer, I tell you,
that sharp brain, an amazingly sharp brain.
You must understand, Sandra. I'm not that fluent in Afrikaans. I can understand it quite well, and I do a number of Afrikaans programming. But from school days when we did Kring in die Bos and Felix Kind, that's the last. But now I've been starting to read Rochelle's books. And I'm loving them.
Fantastic.
And so it's got me back into reading Afrikaans literature. So what a wonderful production. And I mean, of course, it was raved about. Rudo Landman said it was one of the best you'd seen. What else can we expect from you in the future? What else is coming up?
Well, I'm busy rehearsing with John Carney on the Afrikaans version of Driving with Daisy.
Well, John mentioned it last week on the show, and I didn't want to, because he didn't mention your name, because he said he didn't really want to go in, but this is going to be incredible.
Well, we only started rehearsals yesterday, and it was wonderful. It was great being together again after all these years. We still have such a lovely vibe, you know, so it was a very exciting day, so it was lovely. And also trying to find the Afrikaans idiom to put this play into is quite challenging and exciting, you know.
And John Carney mentioned this is also quite a historical debut for himself, because this is his first complete Afrikaans piece that he'll be doing on stage.
That's absolutely true, yes. You know, we have to find the right Afrikaans for John to do it in. It can't be bookish Afrikaans, which is, you know, not going to work at all. And then also try and find the idiom I've got to work in, because translating it from an American background, you know, and a Jewish background into an Afrikaans one is quite a challenge, but it's very exciting. It really is.
So, it's going to be superb. How's your work on television? Your program on CakeNet?
There's a new series coming on of Sandra Pedrafsa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure when they're screening, but it should be probably early in the new year or later this year. And then, yes, I've just done a movie with Marius as well. This was released about a month ago, I think a bit more than a month ago, mm-hmm. called Twee Grade van Moord.
I really liked that movie. I saw it.
Toby
got to see
that.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good script, so that was a good one. And then, yes, then I've got another one-woman show coming up next year.
It's busy, it's TV, it's lots of magic, and that's, I think, what it's all about. Sandra, I wanted to for young people that listen to the program like this about theatre, about living your dreams, what makes a formidable actress/actor, in your opinion?
Gosh, you know, it's hard because, a lot of it is the slog is hard work. It is hard work, it's dedication, and it's passion. But I mean, I think there has to be something, there has to be talent, and then also luck, you know, getting the right parts at the right time, working with the right directors at the right time, with the right co-actors. You know, one can create so much magic on your own, but you can create so much more with other people, you know. I think that's really what it's about. It is a team effort, so getting the right script, the right director, the right co-actors can be purely a stroke of luck, but, you know, one has to look for those combinations as well.
And you draw inspiration from where?
From everything, I think. Absolutely from everything, but especially from nature. I know this sounds a bit strange maybe for an actress to say that, but nature is a great inspiration to me. Animals are inspiration. I think they teach us lessons. They teach us humility. They teach us love. They teach us so many things, you know.
I have to get you in studio when you have a moment, or we're going to come to you and John and do it there, because you are a South African legend by leaps and bounds, and an award-winning performer. But I think ultimately you live your craft, and I think that's incredible.
Yeah, thank you. I think I do, and I think I'm terribly fortunate to be in a position where I can live my love, my art, you know, my passion. So, yeah. And I think Toby can say the same.
Yeah, well,
absolutely.
I can, yeah, thanks.
And I must tell you, he's
inspired by you, Sandra.
He loves working with you. He was saying how fabulous you look.
I love working with him. We had a wonderful time together a while ago, working on a play called Elios, where Toby was bedbound and terribly funny. I mean, he is just the most wonderful comedian and actor in the world. He's just marvelous.
So, Sandra, while he's here, we can make him blush, because it's always fun to do that.
Of course, he can blush, yes.
First and foremost, what makes him so formidable? What is it about the love on stage, or love in general, for Toby Crinier that you think people resonate with?
Well, I think that just Toby's absolute honesty in his work makes the audiences just love him. I mean, they just adore him. They really do. There's such a warmth coming from the audience when Toby's on stage. And I think it is because he's so honest in his craft, and he's so humble, and he's just the most delightful person. Sorry, Toby, you can blush again.
I'm blushing away.
He's blushing away.
And I hope we work together again.
Sorry, Sandra. In Leo's, I had to look Sandra in the face and swear at her.
Really?
Like, really? The ugly word I said just now. And that for me was very hard. I don't know if I could do that, honestly.
Sandra, one other thing, because while we're blushing, what is the strangest thing he's done on stage with you? Has he tripped? Has he fallen? Has he?
Oh, I can tell you.
Okay, yeah. Go to him.
Let him tell us, yeah, okay.
years ago, Francois Swart did a production. Oh, goodness. Can you remember what it was? The one where I had to pick you up. She fainted. Ooh. And I had to pick her up. And,
oh, was it a Shakespeare?
Was it? No, it was a terrible melodrama. Yeah, it was sort of set in the 20s.
Theodora of the Balkans.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Theodora.
And she dropped on stage.
She had to faint on stage, and I had to pick her up in my arms and carry her away. And the next, I did it incorrectly one night, and the next morning I couldn't get up.
See,
I remember that.
Now let's be very careful, because Sandra Prinsloo is very attractive and very thin, but Turby's the place called My Fat Friend, so that's not a very good thing.
Yeah. Oh dear, I just have to recover from the faint quickly. Oh dear.
Legendary actress Sandra Prinsloo, thank you for joining me, and I cannot wait. It starts the 7th. Sorry, I made a slight error. 7th of September to the 25th. It's happening at the Peter Turin
Monte Cassino Studio Theatre.
Yeah.
Sorry, we get caught, but it's in that section. It's not the theatre. Of course, you can book it, CompuTicket, and it's going to be superb. Oscar Indy Pink Tani. It's going to be really. So you play Omar Rosa and Oscar.
I play Omar Rosa and Oscar and seven other characters. So
it's going to be.
I play nine characters all in all.
So. I can't wait to see it. Best of luck, and I can't wait to see Driving Miss Daisy with you and John Carney. We are going to come and invade you and interview you. Please accept
our
invitation.
Wonderful.
Be
yes,
well.
That will be great.
Bye,
yes,
Sandra. We love you. Bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Lots of love to you all.
That's bye-bye. Sandra Prinsloo, and of course, it's wonderful. And another great production coming out. What a show.
Yowza.
I love it. You've got like Sandra and two of you like having a little... together. Right. It's so cool. So cool for school. That's what you've got to say. Thank you for joining us, Turby. You are, again...
Thank you, Alan.
What a pleasure.
It's like visiting you.
You can come visit. Come. I love tea. I love coffee. Yeah, we do movies. Lots of wine.
We'll bring cake.
Please.
Yeah.
We're on diet.
Bring it.
I'm on the biggest diet, and I can't even tell you. Diet? December's coming. What are you talking about? It's Cape Town. I've got to look hot to trot.
Oh.
I'm single, baby. We've got to shake.
Hot anyway.
You know what? I got one thing, Turby. Some people are built for speed, others are built for comfort.
Yeah.
But when they come together, it can be magical. Keep it in mind. It's been really good. Naughty. You've seen nothing yet. I ain't seen nothing. Chrissy, let's just talk about My Fat Friend. When does it open? Next week?
It starts playing the 7th. The press opening is the 11th. Then we're there for three more weeks. And then we're moving down to Cape Town. And we're in Cape Town from the 8th of November to the 28th, I think, or 26th, somewhere there. It's a three-week run at Theatre on the Bay.
Okay, which is always so beautiful. And I mean, it's so wonderful to also see Peter Turin across the board. I mean, you're co-producing with Peter.
I'm co-producing with him, yes.
And what else can we expect from you, Chris, in the future?
Some lovely productions. We've basically started this year with Altyd My Drome, which is an original Afrikaans musical.
Mm-hmm.
We want to take that on the road next year, and we've got big plans.
Mm.
But the new productions for next year, the new Afrikaans season, all those and wonderful productions. Theatre.
Keep us all in mind, because we want to punt good theatre, and that's the point, and great stars. Thank you for joining me. That's the one and only producer, Kirstie Smith. And the final word from Turby Krunier, smile and be happy, because that's what life's about.
Yes, and live with peace. And live in the moment. Be aware of every moment. Be aware of what you're doing. Don't fall asleep, especially not behind the wheel.
It's been so honourable to have you guys on the show. It's absolutely brilliant. Chatty Matty.
It's been lekker, Al.
It's been lekker. All good to be with you, everybody. And remember, enjoy spring day. Please don't look into the sun with the eclipse. Try to get the special glasses. And don't forget, love one another, be kind, and just kind of have fun. And enjoy. Please listen to me. If you're not a theatre person and you don't get this vibe, go. Because there's talent, there is inspiration, there are things that lift you up. Stop just watching TV, and I make TV. Stop just watching TV. Go and see people perform on stage. It takes you to another level. That's the old magic of entertainment. It's good to be with you. My name's Alan Ford, and this is The Unview, The Thin, The Rich, and The Fabulous. God bless you.
The Unview on CliffCentral.com.